welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
This evening it's a great privilege for us to welcome a guest speaker, somebody who's been in Shofar since the beginning and took a bit of a detour. One of the beautiful things about family is always family. Even if you move to another continent, you're still family. And ministered in some other churches, spent time in the Middle East, ministering in Jordan and Egypt and Israel and other Middle Eastern countries for a number of years. Started a trauma center in the east of Johannesburg, a counseling and trauma center. Involved just in launching all of that. She's a founding member of the Evergreen Parenting. Many of us have been involved with that, and it's a course we'll be presenting in the years going forward. Most of us know Hetty Brits as the face of that movement and of that training. And the last couple of years, God's just brought Nordine and her husband, Mac, just back to Shofar, where she was right at the start when Shofar just started as small groups and people coming together and praying in Stellenbosch. Just brought them back and from everywhere else where he'd been using them. And they're now back in Stellenbosch just doing amazing things with their families, heading up a family ministry there with the marriage ministry and parenting and just helping people through those struggles. Because all of us who are married, we know that there's some struggles involved with marriage. There's an incredible amount of blessedness in that as well. And kids are incredible blessings, but sometimes they're challenges as well. And they've got just a passion to share in that and doing that in an incredible, incredible way. And this evening, she's come to minister to us. So, by welcome, Nordine. It's really great having you here. Let's give her a big hand as she comes up to minister.
And it's wonderful to be here. Thank you very much, Philip. I want to hear, who love your neighbor? You love your neighbor, a few of you. If you love your neighbor, don't you want to turn to your neighbor and just pray a blessing over them for tonight? One can easily see what the culture of a church is when you ask them to do something and they spontaneously do that. So I can see there's a culture of praying in this church. And that's what we're going to speak on tonight, is culture. Can anybody tell me what culture is? What is a culture? You can shout out, you can answer. Otherwise, I'm going to walk to you with a mic. Yes. It's the habit of a group of people. That is absolutely correct. Culture is the thing that is acceptable to all of us, and we all do that. Is that right? What is the culture of your church? Worship? Praying? Believing? What else? Passion for Jesus? People to serve. And every church, every household, every family has a certain culture. And Jesus was very aware of that. He is very aware of that. And he speaks to us about that culture of our body of Christ, the family of Christ. He speaks about that in the Bible, in Romans 12, verse 2, and it's up there. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Because he knows, we understand culture. We know how things work. And he says, but I've got a new standard. I don't want you to live according to specific cultures of your time. I want you to live a Jesus culture. And that is what we're going to speak on tonight. And just to tell you a story to make you understand where I'm coming from. In 1996, who was born in 1996? Quite a few. Hey? Who was born in that year? Okay, here's some info on what happened in that year. That year, there was a group of people that went to climb Mount Everest. And this group of people came to a man in agony on the mountain. He was busy dying. And they had to make the decision. Are we going to come, do what we've come to do, or are we going to help him? The culture of mountain climbers are, let's get to the top. That's what we've come for. And they left him dying all by himself. And unfortunately, I think you would agree with me, that has also become the culture of the Western world. Let's go for the top. Let's run after success. Let's drive the fancy car. Let's live in a certain neighborhood. But Jesus says, I don't want you to copy those customs and behaviors of the world. I don't want you to be like the Mount Everest climbers. I want you to have a heart of Jesus culture. And very parallel to this story, there's also a similar story in the Bible of the Good Samaritan, where they also walked, and he was also in agony, and also in pain, and also dying. And it says there, that on the next slide, it says, by chance, a priest came along. In other words, there was a pastor that day that just decided, I've never traveled this road. Let me travel on this road today. And then a temple assistant walked over and looked, like, you know, the tramp in the street, the stinky one, the dirty one that's drunk. Like, oh no, this is effort. Let me go the other way. The third one was a despised Samaritan came along. And the despised Samaritan is normally the ones that we in the Western world, our culture says, they're not good enough. We shouldn't take care of them. We shouldn't stop for them. We shouldn't help them. Everybody's going to stare at us. We've got a guy like that in Stellenbosch. No, in Somerset West, in fact, we've met this guy with a very long, painful history. And he had to move to Somerset West, and we handed him over to an older couple there. And this couple told me last week, when they do welcome, he stands there. He's now part of their family. I belong with you, so I'm with you. And she said, Nordine, sometimes I think, people must think, who is this guy because he looks dreadful. See, our culture says, you don't belong in our church. You don't belong with us that are good looking. But then God sends people like the despised Samaritan. He soothed his wounds with olive oil and bandaged them, because that is the Jesus culture. The Jesus culture is, Jesus says to us, I've come to heal the broken hearts. I've come to set them free. And that is what we should be doing, because when we say that we want to do the things Jesus does and Jesus did in the life of Jesus, then those are the things we should be doing. Because the Jesus' culture, go read all the Matthew, Mark, Luke again. It's about the life of Jesus. And Jesus had a life where he stopped for the one. Where he just stopped when people needed him. I can only name a few. The woman at the well. That was the prostitute in a community. That is the girl in your church that's sleeping or trying to sleep with every guy in church. And all the girls say, we don't want to be friends with her. Stay away from our families. No, she can't be in our cell group. No. That was the woman at the well. And Jesus stopped for the one, because he was busy doing his Father's work. He was in his Father's business. He knew which buttons to press. And he just said, where's your husband? And I don't know if you know, but worldly people are fairly very honest. And she said, I don't have one. He said, you're right. And he carries on. He says, I can give you water that you never thirst again. And I don't know if you'll understand that language, but she did. Because when there's a connection with Jesus, when Jesus stops for one, there's a connection. There's something that happens in our spirits. Jesus stopped for Zacchaeus. in the tree. He was the outcast. He was the drug dealer of our time. Who wants to be friends with a drug dealer? Philip, we've got a few. Who would take a drug dealer into your house? We've got one. We've got one. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. So there's a crowd of people and they carry on. And the drug dealer wants to see, who's this guy coming? And Jesus just turns around and he says, I'm having dinner at your house tonight. You're the one that I want to connect with. You're the one I want to stop for. See, Jesus goes for the one because the 99 is fine. Jesus goes low and he goes slow. What is our culture today? Quick, walk with me while we're talking. Can't speak to you now, I'm on my way. We don't have a Jesus culture anymore. Then the other one is the sick man at the bath. I think that's a very typical of our here and now day. There's a man at the bath. Jesus comes to him and says, why are you sitting here? All the sick people jump in the bath. He says, in all these years, nobody has ever stopped, looked at me, and helped me in. See, Jesus' life was about teaching us his heart, his culture, getting new customs, setting new standards in church life. And then Jesus, there's just a connection again. Take up, you are healed, take up your stuff and leave. And he did exactly that. So we have to have a culture where we go low and we go slow, where we stop for the one. Who loves stopping for the one? Good. Okay. When Jesus stops and notices people, he also did that on very confrontational levels. The man that challenged him, the man of law that challenged him, and says in Luke 10:25, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking me this question. Whenever I read this, I'm like, don't test Jesus. You're not going to come first, this one. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? What do we normally quote that we need as the church? If anybody says to you, how do you know you're going to heaven? What do we say to them? We say, confess Jesus. Jesus answered him. He said, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? Because he was a clever man. Jesus knew. He knew the answer. And Jesus always did that. They came, they asked him questions. He would ask another question. The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, do that and you shall live. Just do that. Stop. Jesus is laying the foundation of a culture saying, just stop and look at me. Just love me with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind. But it's hard today because there's a lot of pressure on us. In Hebrews 3 verse 1, it speaks of us having a heavenly calling. Who's got a heavenly calling? Okay, I'll help you out, all of us. Who knows what that heavenly calling is? Do you want to try? Do you want to try? Yes. Reconciliation, what else? Great Commission. To love his people. God's heavenly calling upon your life and my life is this: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Do you know why? When we love Jesus like that, it's giving up everything. Nothing is more important. And then we move into space where we understand where Jesus says, your calling is to love your neighbor. Your calling is to be the salt and the light of the earth. Your calling is to do more than what Jesus did on earth. Your calling is whatever the Word of God says. We understand that. And the moment we understand about love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, we understand a culture of love. Because love says it conquers all. It covers all. It's never too busy. It's never too hasty. It's never too late. It always forgives. Because then we understand Jesus' heart. Because when we come into his presence and he is our end all and be all, we start loving the way he loved. We stop for the one. We look people in the eye. We've got time. And when we have time and we understand the calling of love, we become sons in the house of God, no longer orphans. That is when you truly can say, I am the head and not the tail. Because it's out of a place of not arrogancy. It's a place of God has placed a heavenly calling upon me to love him with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength. And because he loves me, laying down his life, I can love him back by being the body of Christ, by being reaching out, by touching people. When my husband, I'm married, when my husband loves me, I've got an unseen bag. Who's married here? Woman. A few. But you'll understand that when your husband loves you, you've got an unseen bag that just fills up. It just, unseen things get placed within that bag. And then that bag becomes a bag of promise. That bag of love tells me there's a promise that my husband will be faithful to me. There's a promise that he will cover me. There's a promise that he will protect me. There's a promise that I will be safe in his presence. You see, when we understand the radical love of giving up our lives, there's also a Jesus bag that gets filled up. And that bag gets filled with God's promises because we come regularly into his presence. Who received a promise from the Lord? Who's got a promise? Only a few. I want you to put up your hand. I want you to write down that promise. Now. Because when you've got a promise that you can hold on to, even if you've trusted the Lord for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, when you've got a bag of God's promises, you've got a hope to hang on to. But unfortunately, that promise, have you written it down? Because I can't say this because you'll stop writing. That promise is going to cost you. It's going to cost you a lot. Because many times we receive prophecies or promises, and we start chasing the prophecy, and we start chasing the promise. But that promise is going to cost you something, because there will be no fruit, no promise outcome, if there's no intimacy. You can chase the promise. You can do everything that's in line with that promise. There's no fruit without intimacy with Christ. Because Christ says, I want you to stop for me, church. I want you to love me first. I don't want you to love my promises. I don't want you to love the prophecies. I want you to love me first. And that is what it's going to cost us. It's going to cost you giving up everything. Jesus is always looking for people that are willing to give up their comfort. Jesus is always looking for people that's willing to give up for the sake of his kingdom, to build his kingdom for a Jesus culture. Okay, and then when we learn to give up in such a way, there's an obedience that gets pruned within our lives. And I always say that is Jesus' love language. Obedience. He says in his word, I know that you love me if you are obedient to me. And when we become obedient, we become doers of the word of God. And we don't only sit in church or cell group and listen to the word of God. We go out and we start doing. And then we become like the boy with the fish and the bread. You know how children are. I'm a mother. I'm in the process of teaching my kids, when I speak, you need to be obedient. And that's exactly what that boy did. And his mother got it right. Jesus said, who's got lunch? He said, well, I've got. My mother packed me a lunchbox. It is completely impossible that there was a culture in that day that women didn't pack lunches for their husbands. It's impossible. That's how the culture of that time, even today, operate. Women pack lunchboxes for their husbands. But only one boy said, I've got lunch. He didn't look at the crowds, you see. He didn't look at the things around him. He just looked at Jesus. This man is asking me for lunch, and I will give him lunch. He became a doer of the word of God. Small steps, baby steps. But that is what Jesus wants. Because when we come with our little bit, he multiplies it to many. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength ends up in loving his people and being obedient to the word of God. When love and obedience becomes part of your culture, a drag queen will walk in your church and you will just love him. And you will not look how people look, but you will learn to look people in the eye, because that's what Jesus did. Stop for the woman at the well. When the woman with the issue of blood touched him, there were thousands of people. He said, somebody touched me. Somebody's hungry here today. Who was it? Because he didn't go for the cell phone and the job and the laptop and the car and the top of the mountain. He said, I have come to heal the broken hearts and set the captives free. And that is our calling today. Okay. There's an amazing scripture, 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20, that says, the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living God's power. How are we going to live God's power? How are we going to do that? You need to talk to me. How are you going to stop talking about Philip's amazing sermon on Sunday? Our pastor preached up a storm. Oh, God spoke to me. And you go to all people, oh, God spoke to me. Oh, God spoke to me. What are you going to do about that? Because it can't only about a whole lot of talk, but it's about living God's power. It's about stopping for the one. It's about saying, Lord, I love you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength. I'm willing to bring you my little bit, all I can add, just a little bit. I'm going to add to the church, to the heavenly calling. I'm just going to place it in Jesus' hands. And before you know it, you'll be like Peter walking on water, looking in Jesus' eyes and say, Jesus, I'm walking for you. I'm coming for you. I'm not going to listen to the noises of our culture. The word of God says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, you all know the scripture. God raises up a standard. Who is that standard? Us, Christians. It's not an unseen, standard. How is God going to, how high up does he pull this curtain this time? Or how wide does he open the door? No, he says, my people, I will raise up as a standard, because they've got a Jesus culture. They understand to love their Lord, their God. They know how to connect with Christ. They know how to have an effect on the community. They know how to stop for the man at the bath. They know how to bring their fish and their bread. They know how to do it. so the enemy can come, because my church is the standard. Are we up to standard? I think not. Because we got sucked in with our culture and we started copying the customs and the behaviors of this world. Are we only first-time obedient people? No, our culture says we should question it. We should argue it. We should go speak to my leader about it. I have to speak to my boss about this thing. A rebellious spirit. Because it's the culture of our time. But God says, I want you, church, to step out of that boat. And I want you to come and stand before me and love me wholeheartedly again. One of the scriptures I love is Hebrews 6 verse 1, where I think it is very much where Paul speaks and he says, this is the standard. He says, let us stop going over the basic teachings. I want all of you to say basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Okay, why does he speak of those basic teachings? He says, surely we don't need to start again with fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. Next one. You don't need further instruction about baptism. So he's saying the foundation of your faith that has been laid is baptism, the laying of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. He says, we can't stop there all the time. Church, we need to carry on. We're not even there yet. Am I right? People say, but do I really have to get baptized? Okay, go to the pastor. The pastor has to convince you, show you out of the Word of God. It's not the pastor. It's not the church. It is about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, saying, Lord, I no longer live, but you live in me. The Word of God says, stop going back to the foundations. I want my church to go to a new standard. I want you to bring your fish and your bread. Stop going back. How much money can I make this month? Budget. A lot of people are working out budgets. The Word of God says, don't worry about tomorrow. Love me. I will provide. Love me. Focus on me. Work hard. I'm your provider. The Word of God says, Jesus is our provider. He is our salvation. He is our rock. He is slow to anger and full of compassion. He is the banner over us that is love. We stand under his love. He says, I am like a chicken that gather my chicks under my wings. But we get scattered. We run away. Oh, no. Get up 6 o'clock tomorrow morning to have quiet time. Oh, no. But when we go through hard times, we go to people and say, please pray for me. I really struggle. I always say to people, how intimate is your relationship with Christ? How intimate? Do you see him face to face? Do you experience throne room experiences? Do you know what is on God's heart? Do you know how he loves? He says, please, church, live that culture for me. Bring your fish, bring your bread. And I want to end by saying, I want all of us to stand up. And Jesus is just, I want you to close your eyes, because Jesus is just asking you that you bring a seed before him. You know that a seed multiplies only after its own kind. You can't plant corn and you get watermelons. What you sow, you will reap. Same principle. A seed only multiplies after its own kind. So I want you, if you are ready and if you are willing, to stand before the Lord tonight and say, Lord, I want to be the standard in my community. I want to be the standard in my culture. I want to bring what you ask me to bring. I want to do what you ask me to do. I want to bring my life as the seed into your presence tonight. I am willing to give up all the comfort. I am willing to give up my culture of rushing to the top. Father, to meet with you, to have intimacy with you. Father, and we just want to bring every promise before you tonight. We want to bring, Holy Spirit, all our burdens to you. Your word says your burden is light and your yoke is easy. And Father, instead of running to other things, we want to run to you tonight, Father, the gift of life. And we want to ask you, Jesus, that you will give us rest. If there's anybody heavy laden here tonight, I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will go to him and that he will give you rest. And I want you, I want the whole church to just spontaneously start praying out loud, giving things up. Bring your fish and your bread before the Lord. Bring your culture of rushing to the top before the Lord. Not a Western culture, your own culture. That your own customs. If you are willing that an exchange happens tonight, Jesus takes you, whatever you're giving up. In turn of his intimacy, his presence, knowing him as the lover of your soul, the rock of salvation. There was a time in 1 Kings when God spoke to Elijah and he said to him, I want you to go live next to this brook because you will drink from the water and the ravens will feed you. And then one day it rained no longer, so the brook dried up. And many of us often get there in our Christian walk. We say, Lord, the brook dried up. But it's only time to move on. You didn't hear God wrong. But then God sends Elijah to the widow. And he says, the widow will feed you. He gets to the widow. And he says to the widow, just give me a slice of bread, please. And the widow looks at him and she says to him, I am going to bake my last bread. And then my son and I are going to die because we're going to starve. We've got no money. We've got no food. Can you hear how we would think? God, I heard you wrong. And many times we pack up there and we leave. But Elijah stood strong. He said, but just do that. And he carries on. He says, they never lacked bread and food again. And then to top that, all of a sudden the widow's son died. And this is the beauty of intimacy. This is the beauty of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Elijah didn't freak out. See, because he knew who Jesus was. And he understood his heavenly calling of going out to the nations, of being Jesus to others. He picked the son up. He went to the upper room. And he says, he cried out to Jesus. And I want us tonight to just cry out to Jesus. in worship. Can we just sing another worship song? I really, church, I want to ask you that you just cry out to Him. Cry out to Him, like Philip said, for the nation, for our rushed culture. Repent before the Lord and say, Lord, change us, renew our minds. What happened with Elijah was the boy was healed. And that is what happens when we truly come face to face with Jesus and we cry out. Because then we experience the ravens feed us and the brook gives us water. And that brook is Holy Spirit. So I want everybody just to close your eyes. It's going to be like kindergarten. Garden. Okay? It's like closing your eyes and imagine. Imagine Jesus is standing in front of you and you can ask Him anything. And you can hand Him anything. And you can take from Him anything. Let's cry out to Him.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You, there is